Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Were Born for This podcast with Father John Ricardo, Mary Guilfoyle. We're a couple of missionaries at Acts 29. This is the podcast where we talk about the Word of God, most especially the first reading for the Sunday coming up at Mass, and how it wants to bring hope and renewal and transformation to our lives. Mary, can you believe we're looking at the readings for Palm Sunday?
I don't know if it's because I'm older. I'm getting older year by year.
I'm getting younger year by year. How strange.
You look it. But every year it seems to go quicker. Mm. And but you know, I think because of the way God has gifted you to preach the gospel, I think I'm in a new place this year in a particular way. And I'm eager to experience these great and holy days, these universe-changing days, in a new way. And so I have a sense of excitement. Mm-hmm. That's not a commentary on the fruitfulness or the unfruitfulness, if that's even a word, on my Lent. But I'm excited about entering these days in a particular way to see some things I haven't seen before, or that sometimes fall flat because we can get so comfortable maybe with this week.
It's a great word as we begin. You know what? We're roughly the same age, and I've gone through almost six decades of Holy Weeks. And I say oftentimes to my brother priests, I get more and more empathetic with the Pharisees as I get older in life, because I think it's dangerous to be professionally religious. And I think it's dangerous to be Catholic. And what I mean by that, or to be Christian, what I mean by that is we can get used to these things. Nothing's more tragic than getting used to the magnificent. And as you said, we're about to celebrate the week that changed the history of the world. And people try to look forward to, I wonder what's coming in the future, as if there's going to be some event in the future that's going to change the world. The event that changed the world has already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's the single most important event in the history of the universe, and we're about to celebrate it. And tragically, we can go, oh, Holy Week. Yeah, I know this. And I don't know this, right? So we've got to do everything we can to ask the Holy Spirit to show us new things, not so we can get some novel insights, but so that our hearts can be provoked again and we can be moved to surrender and we can be overwhelmed with what God has done for us, right?
Absolutely, Father John.
So, given all that, what's our topic?
So our topic today is weary. Jesus has a word for us this week.
Oh, may that be so. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are indeed, many of us, as we sit down right now, weary. Might be physically, it might be emotionally, it might be spiritually. You have access to everything that's going on inside us. You know the highs and the lows, the joys and the sorrows. You know those of us who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Those of us who are rejoicing over the gift of new life. We are in so many different places, Father. And yet your Son has a very personal, particular word for each and every one of us. So we ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be upon us, that our ears might be open to whatever that word might be. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the first reading for next week comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 7. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned my back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not hide from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame.
We got just four verses, and yet we could probably talk for hours on this, right? You know, maybe I can make a quick general comment, and then I really want to hear, because we were talking about this beforehand, what the Lord's saying to you in these four short verses, and then maybe I'll share what he's saying to me. The general comment's this. Many of us probably know that this is what's often referred to as one of the servant songs in Isaiah. So curiously, there's some controversy as to how many servant songs there are. I find this actually rather fascinating biblically. We don't know how many suffering servant songs there are. It used to be thought that there were four. Some people think there's seven, and maybe there's even eight. So the just maybe to name them first, what we know for sure is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9 is one of them. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 13 is a second. This passage, which is Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 7. And then the one that we're going to hear on Good Friday, Isaiah 52, starting in verse 13, going through Isaiah 53, verse 12. Those are the ones that are pretty universally identified as the four servant songs. But some scholars think there's three more. They would be Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 16, and then chapters 44, verses 1 through 5, and again 44, verses 21 to 28. That would make seven. And then some people think there's an eighth, which is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. And just hold on to those maybe for a moment. We'll come back to that at the end with maybe a quick little suggestion for what we might want to do with that. But so this is one of them. And obviously it is a prophecy of what in fact goes on in Jesus's passion, right? So I know I can see some of the thoughts that you have, and we were talking about these before. Like, what's the word the Lord's saying to you as you linger with this passage?
You know, I spent a set of days looking at this and praying into it. And the first thing that strikes me, I think, is the extraordinary might and power of this kind of love. It's a suffering. Mm. It's a suffering love. And my prayer quickly led me to look at the manner in which I love compared to a love that does something like this. Like, our heads can't even, we can't wrap our heads around this caliber of divine love. And because of the way the Lord has been so gracious to you, Father John, in preaching the gospel, this is so ground into us now. For those of us on the team who hear you preach constantly the cross and what Jesus is doing. And so I read this passage from Isaiah through the eyes of this warrior, Jesus. Mm. And I'm thinking, I'll walk through those lines that hit me, but I'm thinking, I'm seeing where his camouflage is coming from.
Yeah.
As he's cloaking himself in the passion, he's cloaking himself so as to attract the prey. And so obviously my prayer centered on the detail of the suffering. And I was reminded of something that you and I came across years and years ago now. It was a line from a priest. I believe his name was Father DeNoia, but he said, if this is the remedy,
yeah,
how great must be the wound.
Yeah, he said that after seeing the Passion of the Christ, the movie.
And so that came back to my mind again, and I was just lingering with, you know, the passages that I gave my back, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, the buffets and the spitting. And so I just closed my eyes in those moments, and it was almost as if I was revisiting Mel Gibson's Passion. Mm. And what I was struck by is, like, these lines in that particular moment in Mel Gibson's that film in general offers us absolutely horrifying and chilling detail about what our Lord is suffering, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And here we have God on the cross witnessing this power of suffering love, and he's experiencing the deepest humiliation known to man by the lowest of men, us. And again, I just kept going back to this agony that our Lord endured for me, for us, and just that question, who does such things?
Can I build on that real quick? Because it's something similar. You know, I was struck by the Jewish mindset unlike kind of the Western mindset, is we tend to think of either or. They tend to think of both and. Mm. And oftentimes we talk about Jesus on the cross is hunting, but he's also being hunted. Mm-hmm. He's the aggressor, but he's also a victim. And so as you just were observing, the Lord has helped me come across the patristics, the early church fathers preaching the passion. And one of the things that we stress over and over again is that, yes, the Lord is showing us the Father's love. And yes, Jesus is becoming sin, but he's also going to battle. And as we look at this passage and we get ready for Holy Week, it's important to remember that even though he is always in control in his passion and that it's not happening to him, and that he's breaking into the enemy's house to rescue us, the price he's willing to pay, what he's willing to let his creature do to him, is outrageous. And just that line, the line that jumped out at me in a very particular way is, I have given my back. So this is a very extraordinary visual. Like, imagine, what does that mean? That means scourging. So imagine, you know, imagine exposing your back. Not so that someone can see you naked, which is what happens to Jesus, but so that somebody can rip you apart, which is what the Lord, even though he's in control, is willing to let happen. And I was struck, I was searching through the breviary because I've always been profoundly hit by, there's a psalm prayer. It's for Thursday, week 4 of daytime prayer. And it says this, Lord Jesus, living in glory as the Son of Man, that's where he is right now, remember that when our sins had plowed long furrows on your back, your death broke the bonds of sin and Satan forever. And so then in my mind, I'm just lingering with that. Like, you know, like you grew up in Kansas in the panhandle and you know farming. You saw it all the time. I don't. But I know it. What it sees, what it means to plow a field. And the image here, both in Isaiah and in that psalm prayer, is that God allowed his back to be plowed for me. For me. And would that it was something that I can, in my life, look back and go, oh yeah, you did that for all those things in my past, which I'm really glad you've forgiven. But it's this morning, you know, and this afternoon that I continue to, if you will, plow his back with my sin, whether it's my thoughts or my words or my actions. And as you said earlier, this is just unfathomable love, that God, even though he's in control, would allow this to happen.
You know, I'm sitting across the table from you right now, and I have like a profound lump in my throat. I cried at Mass last week because there was just an extraordinarily beautifully celebrated liturgy, and just such an anointing came on me, and I cried. And as I just think about like that psalm prayer, like plowed long furrows, like how do we not weep? And not that we don't weep with, we weep with gratitude, but what's coming over me right now, even as you're talking about this, Father John, is like, Lord, give me a contrite heart.
Right.
Like, I'm so sorry for every thought, for every word, for every action, how careless I can be, to your point, like that was for me today, this morning, yesterday, last week. Lord, give me your heart. Help me to approach all of this with just such contrition. Lord, I'm so sorry. Thank you, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And help me to amend my life.
Like, yeah, I don't want to give me your heart.
I don't want to keep ripping open your back,
give
Lord.
Give me your heart.
Yeah.
You know, Father John, we were talking about just how do you get your head around this outrageous love, this outrageous act, this massive rescue mission. I'm gonna throw something your way, and I don't know if it's going to make any sense. Does courage even apply to Jesus? Because I was praying through saving my child. Like, if my child was in harm's way, like, you don't think about what you're going to do. You just respond. And God saw everything in advance, all of history. He saw all of us, everything, every sin, all the sins and offenses that have been committed, all the sins that I have yet to commit, all the many ways I can offend our Lord. He saw it all, and he did it anyway. I don't even think that's courage. I'm just trying to get my head around. He saw everything, and he thought we were worth it anyway.
But it is courage. I mean, absolutely. Jesus has every virtue, and he's got boatloads of courage. You know, the ancients used to define courage as the willingness to fall in battle. And that's the Lord. The Lord is willing to fall in battle. Even as you're talking, I'm thinking of a friend of mine who shared with me years ago now an image of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, wrestling with everything that's about to happen. He's sweating blood. As you said, he knows everything that's coming. And he's in this image, the person saw Jesus like on the ground, praying to the Father, you know, lying prostrate. And as he's there on the ground, he's thinking of you by name and what it's going to cost to rescue you, and me by name. And he's thinking of, he's about to give his back to be scourged, which is not to be whipped, it's to be scourged. Those are two very different things. You know, he's about to allow himself to be crowned with thorns, to be beaten to the place where he doesn't even look human, to be nailed to a cross, to die by asphyxiation. And as he's lying on the ground, thinking of you, picturing you, seeing your face in conversation with the Father, he slowly pushes himself up off the ground and says to the Father, "Let's do this. Let's do this, Father." Not to show off. Let's do it for them. That's the Lord. The Lord's courageous in a way that's beyond anybody's courage in history.
You know, you've shared that before, and it's so beautiful and it's so profound. So some people have described our Lord's courage as planned courage. Because he sees the difficulty ahead. So I was praying with Lord, what would be an example to your point that you just made? None of us have that kind of courage. I was thinking about, like, my husband, like going through Officer Canada School, you know, as a Marine, you know, many, many years ago, SEAL training,
yeah,
an Olympic athlete, because you see the difficulty ahead. We don't have a paradigm for this kind of planned courage. The difficulty ahead for you or for me, or for any of our dear friends or who are listening, is nothing remotely like this. He came to take on death. He's done something, Fleming Rutledge would say. He's done something about death. He's done something about these governments that are sin and death and hell. It's the greatest, most epic rescue mission in all of human history. How don't we fall on our knees
and
tears?
And he could have stopped it at any moment. He could have said, you know, like, done. You know, he could have struck the people dead. He could have said, you know, that's enough. But unlike us who are not in control, he is in control, and he's allowing all this. I remember, you know, going back to the movie, The Passion of the Christ, you know, when Jesus is getting scourged, there's, you know, he falls to the ground. He makes eye contact with his mother in the movie, and he slowly gets back up. In my mind, I'm picturing the Lord's communicating to Our Lady and to us as he does that. Oh, that's not even remotely what it's going to take to make you whole. Because one of the things that Jesus is revealing in his passion is the love of the Father. And it would be one thing if, you know, he got shot and he died. But, you know, that's one thing. To to be tortured to death in the way that he allows himself to be tortured to death in the most degrading, humiliating, and shameful manner of execution that the ancient world and perhaps the modern world has ever come up with. Well, that's another thing. So let nobody doubt, as they look at God made man hanging on a cross, ripped to shreds, that he loves you. There's nothing left to give. He's divested, quite literally, of everything.
Everything.
For you and for me. That's extraordinary. I think we both were struck by one last line, which is that very intro and where the title of the episode comes from, that the Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue. It's more literally a disciple's tongue, which is really fascinating. The model for discipleship is Jesus. To be a disciple is to be an apprentice, and Jesus is an apprentice of his Father. And so he has a well-trained tongue. He has a disciple's tongue. He listens to the Father, and it's so that he can speak a word to the weary that will rouse them. And I don't know about you, but...
Who among us aren't?
I'm weary right now. I'm weary physically. I still don't have all my energy back. I'm weary spiritually of fighting some of the same old things I continually fight. I'm weary emotionally on some different fronts. And this is a promise. You know, like the Lord knows what I need to hear right now in my discouragement. And he, if I will give him time and ask him, Lord, what is the word you have for me to rouse me in my weariness and to give me encouragement, then he will speak it. And so just an exhortation to all of us to ask him, Lord, you know me, you know everything that's going on right now. What's the word you have for me today, Jesus?
I love that, Father John. And I think even prior to making that prayer, those of us who are heavy laden, like he wants us to lay our burden down in front of him. Mm. Like I just, you know, we have a very good Father. And our prayer, he just loves to hear the prayers of his children. He loves for us to bring to him our weakness and our need. And whatever is making us heavy laden, first he says, can you just lay it down? Can you just give it to me? After you've laid it down, for you are my beautiful child, I will speak a word. But he wants us to bring that weariness to him.
Yeah,
first.
That's right. Name the weariness.
Name
Son,
the
where are you
weariness.
Weary? Daughter, where are you weary?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, before we close, maybe just a really practical thing to do sometime this week or maybe next week. I spent some time doing it this morning. I found it very powerful. The encouragement would be read and pray with all of the suffering servant songs or all of the servant songs. So I'd encourage all 8. And so I'm just going to give them again really quick.
And we'll put them in the show notes too.
Yeah, so just read these back to back to back to back to back to back and just let the Lord prepare us for what it is that we're about to celebrate come Holy Week. So it would be Isaiah 42 verses 1 to 9. I'll do these all in order. Isaiah 41 verses 8 to 16. That's first. Then Isaiah 42 verses 1 through 9. Then Isaiah 44 verses 1 through 5. And then again in 44 verses 21 to 28. And then Isaiah 49 verse 1 to 13. Isaiah 50 verses 4 through 7. That's the passage we had just had. The long one, Isaiah 52, starting in verse 13 through Isaiah 53 verse 12. And then finally, Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. And just let the Lord minister to you as you feast on his word, because in those passages, there's going to be a word to rouse the weary. One of the things that hit me was how many times in those passages he's talking about the servant's going to bring prisoners out of prison. It's not just once, it's many times. And man, I build so many prisons in my mind and in my life, and I just want the Lord to shatter those. That's what he's going to do on Holy Saturday when we celebrate his liberation of hell, and like the stupid creature that I can be sometimes, I can walk back into those prisons. And the Lord says, what are you doing in there? I want to bring you out. So let's just let the Word of God do what he does best when he allows us an opportunity to feast on him.
These are great and glorious days. Let's pray for one another. Let's our friends, we're always praying for you. You are near and dear to our hearts, and we pray that you will know nothing less than extraordinary, outrageous love in these days ahead.
Do not be afraid, people. God is with you, the God who rescues his creature from hell. And you were born for this.
Hello, friends. This is Mary Guilfoyle with Acts 29. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in knowing more about our mission, check out our website at acts29.org. That's ACTSXXIX.org, where you can learn more about who we are and what God has called us to do. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to Father John's weekly blog, Thoughts from the Trailer, as well as access the Rescue Project. We also invite you to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. And please pray for us and be assured of our prayers and gratitude for each and every one of you. We look forward to you tuning in next week. God bless you.